Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Baytown? Hey, how we doing? It's a game day on The Usual Suspects. And yeah, we know it's a big one today in the Big Apple between the Yankees and your Houston Astros. So big, in fact, that we have a short show, but we have the privilege of being your pregame as we take you up until game time when the ESPN broadcast will pick up Yankee Stros. So Nick is here. Barry's here. I'm here. Let's start the festivities.
We call it unofficial, right?
Of course.
Obviously. We're the unofficial
pregame to the game.
Yeah. Pregame to the game that's going to be played on this station.
No, Barry. We're the national.
No, don't.
We're the national pregame show in Houston for ESPN baseball. That's a fact. And we're not violating anything that anybody else has the right to.
You were in that business. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That just seemed like we tiptoed a line there.
There's a way to say what you're trying not to say and still get the right point across, gotcha. And I'm trying to do that.
Well, you must be feeling pretty special right about now.
Pretty good. Look, here's the thing.
Coming off a big win.
So many people coming at me with all this.
I saw all the hate last night.
Yeah, and I was like, here's the thing.
Deservedly so.
No, it isn't. I even said on the air, I'll take a win by one. I don't care. I know there's a lot of gambling folks not real happy with a certain sit down on your butt on the 1.5 yard line late in that game. But right off the top, not going to argue anybody who says those were two bad calls. Completely agree.
You're talking about the hands to the face calls on Detroit.
Yep.
And when his hands were not in his face, they were on his shoulder pads.
Right. So not even going to dispute them. Not that there weren't also other calls that could have gone the other way, but here's the thing. And I sympathize with Lions fans. And you and I were talking, getting ready to go on the air. Here's the thing that I want everybody to know. I sympathize with Lions fans because I've been there. Because last year, if you people forget, because I can't. Last year, early in the season, the focus was on keeping the powder puff quarterbacks okay. Packers lost two games in a 5-week span, both because Clay Matthews got called for roughing the quarterback on complete horse bleep calls with interceptions involved that would have ended games and given Packers victories. They lost both of those games because of them. So I sympathize because I've been there. I think the issue is not what happened last night as much as the epidemic that's going on in the NFL with calls right now is a joke.
No, that's the bigger issue, but last night was definitely a joke. And the fact that TJ Guidry on Twitter sent me a screenshot.
You scared to send it to me too, TJ?
But he sent me a screenshot, and it's the Packers. They have 13 men on defense. Even if you just line up with 13 men on defense, that's a penalty. Now, I asked him, okay, this is just a screen cap and not a video, but I need the video of what happened at 5:22 in the second quarter. Because I said, did they run a play? And he goes, yeah, they did. I want to see it, but if that's the case, that's egregious. 13 men on the field, and you got away with that as well? Plenty of, look, and I get it. The Packers, you're right. We were talking about those two Clay Matthews calls, and Packers definitely got screwed out of two wins. So you win some, you lose some. You had some credit in the get screwed out of a win bank, and you withdrew it last night. It doesn't make it okay.
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. The bigger issue is, and maybe this helps because it was a national game that was actually worth a darn, and that everybody's now focused on this, that the NFL has a bigger problem because they opened up a complete Pandora's box with the whole Rams-Saints issue with this whole challenging calls. Because now you've opened up a degree of scrutiny for your officiating that you didn't have to deal with before, and you had no one to answer to. And now you've got a judge and jury that is in the millions. And in the process of doing this, you now have to look at like the NBA, who when they did their final 2-minute deal, they also had to be very transparent in, look, we have a system of grading our officials. And in plays like this, when calls are made, especially if they're egregious and wrong, I'm not going to say there's a punishment or a fine, but there are ways of making the officials accountable. The NFL has none of that. So that's the biggest thing now is people are demanding, one, get it right, and two, make these guys accountable for these calls. Otherwise, how are we not to believe that there's a Tim Donaghy somewhere in the midst?
Yeah, you have to hold these guys accountable. You have to make sure that there's some sort of disciplinary action. If there were these, you know, egregious mistakes and issues made by the players, for example, that helmet-to-helmet hit that knocked old boy out, what was his name? 81, was it?
No, you mean last night or are you talking about the first game?
No, I'm talking about last night. No, I'm talking about last night. What was the hit? Was it 81?
Knocked
on the
out Allison was out of the game. Thank God, by the way, because he has the hands of Donald Trump.
But they called that a helmet to helmet and a personal foul. That dude was going for the interception. And that's a terrible call that cost them 15 yards. And look, I'll just say this right now, Lions fans, you can bitch about the calls, but the Lions can take credit for that loss too, because when it was they had held the Packers to a field goal in the first half, and they ended up with 12 men on the field. They put the offense back on the field, and they scored a touchdown. So you just gave away 4 points, and that's the difference in the ball game. So you can say that the refs made bad calls. The refs didn't cost you the game. That play, that penalty cost you the game, and that was a legit penalty on the Lions. So
and you lucked
I'm not
out
gonna
that
say the
you
Packers,
lucked out that when the receiver slips and the ball hits him dead in the face mask, that ends up being a pick, and you go length of field. And here's the one
that's just football. That's
and
just
I
play.
Get that, and the Packers played sloppy. Look, I fully expected them to lose with all the turnovers that they had. And if number 10, Shepard, isn't either cut and at the very best case scenario for him put on the practice squad, then there's something wrong in the world. Because after muffing the fumble and giving him points, then he drops that ball and he missed a couple other on routes where Rodgers got frustrated with him. Dude, you either got to play or get the hell off. Get on a team that sucks. Go to Miami because you don't belong in a system like that. But when we were looking at two, the one thing that really chapped my ass, where was the review on the goal line on the 4th and 1 where one official put it on the 1.5 yard line and said he didn't get it, and the other official comes in at the last minute and
says,
goes,
touchdown.
Oh, no, touchdown. And then I'm looking at all the different angles on the replay going, where once did you see the ball cross the line? I don't care if his helmet did. The ball has to cross the plane.
So that
and it
was
never
a...
did. And here's the thing. And don't tell me.
Joe, you're green and gold is showing.
It's starting to show now because I sympathize with the Lions. But the one that did this, I'm telling you, the one that chapped my ass, I'm like, don't tell me, well, the play on the field call stands is called. Don't tell me that the call on the field stands.
Use
because
your
I'm
word,
telling you right
Joe.
Now, one jackass had it fourth turnover on, and the other jackass had touchdown. Piss me off. I didn't use we or us once. Piss me off.
I've never, in 3 years of this show, I've never seen, and I've seen you angry, but I've never seen you unable to use your words, boy. I think you have a point about the touchdown, the review where the one official was waving his hands to stop, to signal the
he
end
didn't
of the play.
Get it, Packers ball.
And the other one was saying touchdown. However, because the ruling on the field was a touchdown and they reviewed it, I didn't see enough to overturn it. So that's the thing you got to keep in mind is there was no real definitive view that
don't
you could
you nod
see.
Your head in there, Nick.
The sky cam actually made it look like he crossed the plane way more than the goal line cams
well,
did.
Well, Booger was in full agreement with you because he saw his helmet cross the plane.
Yeah, well,
where
Booger's,
is the ball?
Booger's not... I mean, his name is Booger. Okay, that's all you need to know about whether you should listen to what he says or not. But, I understand where maybe you let that play out and then challenge it. Was it a touchdown or not? Or you go ahead and call it a touchdown because you know it's going to be reviewed, which I tend to agree with. Same thing when they just let a fumble happen, right. Even if the player was down. Let the play continue. That way you don't screw like the Saints out of a touchdown or anything like that. So I think they did the right thing there, and it was just difficult. There was no good angle to see whether he was definitively in or out, so you got to give the call on the field. But it was certainly very controversial, and I could see why both sides – are worked up about it for various reasons. So the NFL's got a problem, and it's, you know, I don't know how you fix it right away, but they need to start addressing it. They've got to start holding some of these referees accountable. They really do. It was bad. So,
well, and I'll say this, kudos to the Packers defense because they did the bend not break thing on several tough situations that they were put in based on turnovers. And that was, as much as you can scrutinize the Lions for not getting 7 and getting points in all those times, the other thing is give the Packers D a little credit because once they got burned on the 2 long plays early, they really settled in. And that's a different defensive unit. But again, the same way that they took two hard L's last year, to be 5-1 and sit there and go, okay, but here's one thing I said, especially for all the Packer fans that follow me that were jumping on board with this. What you saw last night should be enough to scare you into saying, Jimmy Graham is done.
Oh, yeah.
Find another option at tight end. Either you go get one or, hey, Mercedes Lewis, who used at one point was an all-pro tight end, use him more as a receiver instead of a blocker. But two most important things. You should be the front of the line for either Jalen Ramsey or Patrick Peterson, and you need one of those guys because you need a corner next to Alexander. And two, you need another receiver, whether you call it insurance for Adams and for Geronimo Allison, or with as horse bleep as those guys' hands were all night, Adams not playing, you need to get another veteran that Rodgers can trust. Because when he's telling you who the better first-year receiver is on the roster to get in the game, you've got problems. Because after the game, he said, I went to the receivers coach and to LaFleur and said, okay, speaking because of Shepard's mishaps too, he's like, I need 13 in the game because at practice he's shown me he knows what to do. And he made four really big receptions in that game.
I'll tell you a couple observations that I just had last night. One of them is that was a night and day game by the Lions. That first half, they looked unbeatable. I mean, I realized it was 13-10, but the offense was clicking. Yeah. You thought, boy, Matthew Stafford, what? This is so great.
He's actually better than people give him credit
for. Yeah, but they just looked bad in the second half. I don't know what the offense, I think they got too conservative. They didn't
run the ball.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but there was a night and day performance by that Detroit offense. And the other observation I had, Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. He looks like an a-hole on the field. Like, the way he talks to people, the way he's talking to himself, you can tell he's scowling at his own team.
He's scowling at his head coach.
Yeah, he's waving off LaFleur. Like, literally, you can see that it's not at 15 yet, which is when the coach can't talk to the quarterback in his headpiece anymore. Right. So he's waving him off at, like, 19, telling him to shut up, I got this, basically. And I was like, wow, that's a real problem.
Go back to my rant. You induced me into about the Packers. I think it was a few weeks ago. It might have been after the Philly game. And I said exactly what we're talking about now and pointed out some of the things you just noticed. The fact that he sometimes will intentionally wait till after 15 so that he can call the play.
Yeah.
Or when he doesn't, he'll wave it off demonstratively from the huddle.
Check
and say,
his
I'm
wristband
calling
and then
one.
Call something, yeah.
He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yep.
And he's heard from others that Peyton Manning didn't need an OC because Peyton Manning knew what every play to call him like that. And he feels like if Manning can do it, then I can do it.
Oh,
and
boy.
That's the way I should do it. And it's a problem.
Hey, if I can get cash back on GetUpside, Joel, you can get cash back on GetUpside. And you out there listening can get cash back on GetUpside. Go do it right now. Download it and put it on your phone. Guys, I promise you, you're going to love this app. And if you don't, just don't use it. That's the beautiful thing about GetUpside. It's a cash that gets you cash back. It's an app, that gets you cash back for gas and food purchases. But if you don't like it, you're not locked into any kind of contract or anything. They're just like, okay, don't use it then. But you're going to love the savings that you get. It's like having a coupon everywhere you go, at every gas station that's in the app or every food place that's in the app. You can get up to 35% cash back on your meal purchases. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back on your gas purchases. Not just one time you can get savings. It's every single time you use the app, you can be getting cash back for your purchases. Now, obviously, from store to store and location to location, it's going to vary, and day to day, but that's also the beauty of the app. If you don't like an offer that you have today, check it tomorrow or go to a different area and look at the map there. There's tons of offers around this city and plenty of opportunities for you to get cash back, but you can't do it if you don't have GetUpside installed on your phone. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Starting the second half hour of the show in about 13 minutes. So we've got time for you. We're going to take you till 3. Blitz is going to have the day off. ESPN Baseball, Astros. See, that's what I'm talking about, to your point. 99.9% of the time, even when I'm excited, and I'm not going to have mince words or have any problems.
That might have been my favorite segment of all time.
I bet it just
came off the rails for a moment, and yeah. I love it. And the people love it, too. They were like, that's the best thing I've heard in a long time, Joel.
Happy to appease. Short show. Got to get it in a short amount of time. Got to make sure you guys are still happy.
It had a very Porky Pig vibe. It was almost Stephen A-ish.
It's close.
Just messing with you, man. No, I get it.
It's totally preserved.
I love it.
And so, you know what? I mean, here's the thing. And I understand you guys are all Texans fans for the most part. You don't want to hear this, but you asked. It was the pertinent game of the night last night.
Yeah, it was the only football game
last night. So it was conversation
we had. Of
course
we have to talk about
it. And if you don't like it, then, you know, first of all, suck it. And then figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your day.
I wonder why you're so upset about that. Was there a text or something?
Steelers fan Juan, by the way, who no one gives a rat's hairy ass about your Steelers on any day, let alone the way they're playing this year. But for you to tweet or to text us, awesome radio, Joel. P.S. The ball only needed to reach the line. Steelers fan won. Guess what? It has to break the plane. That's what I said. I hate when people over-scrutinize things that they don't hear. It's like the calls last night. You called what you thought you saw based on how Bakhtiari's head was and where you were positioned on the field, but what actually happened was different.
Yeah.
Got it, Wani boy?
Pretty
Enjoy
close.
Your day in Denver.
Steve Hairgrove said the Packers called a timeout when they had 13 men on the field. Yeah, but the screenshot that I saw had both teams lined up. If you line up with 13 men,
say,
that's a
penalty. Your point is right. Yep.
And then, so if they didn't get away with it, if they got away with a timeout, they still got away with it. Because once the offense breaks huddle and the defense breaks huddle, if there's 12 men on the field, that's a penalty, period.
Right. And that's the big major thing, because as long as those 12 guys are on the field, and a lot of times too, and I was surprised he didn't do it where he had a couple opportunities last night. Rodgers is the king of waiting for panicked, quick defensive adjustments when they're trying to go up-tempo. And he has a signal that he calls to where the line just lines up and snaps in the ball, just so that that exact rule. They don't have to be in the – as long as there's 12 men on the field when the ball is snapped, or like you said
– if they're lined up.
When they're starting to get lined up, it's on you.
Yeah.
So
– that was – so I don't recall that, and they obviously didn't point it out, even if they called the timeout. But yeah, it wasn't a great game. It was just an intriguing game because of all the drama, I would say.
Yeah, you know, it held people's interest because the score was close enough, and you know, you didn't have to be a fan of either team to at least say, hey, at least more compelling than the baseball game. This could go either way.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Did you watch that baseball game?
I flipped over a couple times during commercial breaks, and I was like, yeah, that's
so
over.
Here's how I was able to watch both. I had recorded it. I recorded both just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched.
I taped it, by the way.
Did you? Yeah. Good for you. I watched the baseball game, and then about 2 in the morning, I went to bed kind of early, right? During the football game, I was like, I'll watch it tomorrow. I ended up waking up at like 2:30 in the morning, wide awake. Maybe because I went to bed at like 9 or 10, but I could not go back to sleep. So I just was like, well, I guess I'll just go watch the football game. So 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm just up watching football. It was awful. I was like, I'd rather be sleeping. But
You woke up at 11:53.
And thus I took a nap this morning, got up at 11:30. Don't hate me. But that baseball game, man, I feel bad for the Cardinals. I mean, they don't have enough to pull a Red Sox and come back from 0-3.
No.
They just don't have enough and valiant effort on their part. But this is what happens when you face a rotation like what the Nationals have.
Two things.
Credit to the bullpen of the Nationals, too.
Yes, which has been scrutinized the entire year. But here's the thing. You're right, and you're missing one X factor, too.
Soto.
And that's on two different fronts. That's in a couple different sports, but particularly in football and baseball. And it can also be said in basketball. Don't discount the hot team. This Nationals team was supposed to be eliminated in the wild card. They were losing the entire wild card game until they put up a rally in the final, inning and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So as quickly as that changed, they decided to turn their own fortunes around by saying, we can do this. And then with every momentum-building thing that's happened, this team suddenly went from a train that's barely chugging down a track to a steam engine that believes it can take out anybody. And now, like you said, with the starting pitching they're getting, it eliminates one of their bigger problems, which is having numerous options in the bullpen that can get outs.
Yeah.
they're in a good shape. They're in great shape because when you think about offensively all the different ways they can beat you, and Rondon is just a stick. He's going to hit for average. He's going to hit clutch. But when you look at Soto, when you look at the options they have in center now because they're getting healthy, and even a Zimmerman who was kind of an afterthought in the wild card game, who now has gotten big hits, or a Kendrick who kicked the ball with it, with his foot more than he fielded it with his glove.
Howie Kendrick at the plate, though.
Boy. What a stick.
Yeah, he's been playing well. Rendon, I like watching Rendon hit because there is I don't think I've ever seen, and save your jokes, clones, but somebody's, I've never seen a more quiet lower half at the plate. I mean, his
Rondon,
lower body,
Rendon?
Yeah, Rendon. Does not move. It's a clinic on just getting your body ready, using your hips, and just there's no wasted movement.
I think Brantley is close to that. He's very,
but he still has
at the plate,
a step.
But he does.
Rendon
right.
has no step, no timing, because a lot of that step is a timing mechanism.
Right.
And that plant foot, nothing. It's amazing. If you haven't watched it or paid attention to it, watch it. Watch Rendon at the plate.
Just contagious.
Watch his lower legs. Watch it, how there's no movement at all. It's fascinating, and that dude can absolutely hit. I mean, I think he was third or fourth in the National League in batting average this year. So, yeah, he can definitely do it, and that's, I guess, now the Nationals, you think they win tonight?
I just think basically –
think they sweep?
I think basically from all the things you were saying Cardinals-wise, I think it's more going to be a reflection of – the Cardinals than it is the Nationals. Nationals are going to go in confident, as they should, and they may even relax a little bit. But if the Cardinals have already folded up their tents mentally and gone home, then I think that this is going to be just, you'll see a Nationals team just roll through while the Cardinals go through the motions and you end it. But, and I didn't even look at the pitching matchups.
Dakota Hudson and Patrick Corbin.
I would think that from... If there's going to be a game one in this series by St. Louis, it think it will be tonight. I think that the pitching, if it's not Scherzer, Sanchez, or Strasburg, I think they got a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Corbin was really good this year.
Two times in relief, he's been good.
Yeah, Dakota Hudson's a damn good pitcher, too. Go look up his numbers. He's no slouch out there. I think it's hard to sweep. It won't surprise me if the Nats sweep, but I think the Cardinals... aren't going down without a fight. I think they win tonight and probably drop game five.
I hope you're right. But this, I said, this is a telltale of, and it'll also tell you a lot about what's going on in the clubhouse. If, they got the managers back and they know what it means to, and the Cardinals are a very storied and classy franchise.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come out and say, look, for a lot of reasons, it's important we don't get swept.
Yeah.
And if they come out with that fire, then but you'll know it within the first two or three innings if they're just kind of going through the motions, looking for the offseason and disappointed it ended, or they can say, we can try and be the Red Sox, and if we don't, at least we went down swinging.
Did I see right? Paul Goldschmidt in the playoffs is hitting like 083 or something?
I don't know, man.
Has it been that bad?
I didn't think so, because I thought early on, even the wild card leading into the DS, I thought he had a couple hits, but I could be wrong. I mean... Look, there's a team there that doesn't have...
Maybe that was for this series.
There's a team that doesn't have the luxury of the Yankees or the Astros or even the Dodgers-type teams where you don't have any holes in that lineup that you can also have other options to fill.
Mm-hmm.
If they got young guys that fail for them, they don't have the options to keep that a consistent lineup.
So he's 1-for-12 in this series.
So
that's 083. He's 303 in the postseason,
there you
which
go.
Is great.
Because I knew in the wild card in the DS, he was fine. Yeah.
That's right. He's 10 for 33. But you can't go 1-for-12 in the NLCS.
But extend that.
And you're the – I mean, that's bad.
Extend that. You say that about their entire lineup.
Yeah.
You can't get no hit for 6-plus in two straight games.
Well, you can if it's Strasburg or Scherzer.
I heard the
– I mean – both of those guys tend to do that to you.
I heard the Skids this morning, which was the morning show version of the Blitz, because they only did an hour. But AJ was talking about it. He made a great point. Look, the bottom line is the earned run average of the Nationals starters in this series is less than a half a run.
Yeah.
That means they have been so dominant. You could say what you said about Goldschmidt, about essentially 1-8. Like, where are you, where are you, where are you? And why has your offense been MIA the entire series?
Well, yeah, I want to see what the – so when you look at the averages like they show in the box score, they have Goldschmidt at 083. That means that if this is the case, that Fowler isn't hitting, Wong isn't hitting. Like,
yep.
Literally anybody not named Martinez on this team isn't hitting right now. So, yeah, they're going to have to get it together. I'll bet you that they win this game. Oh, what? Speaking of betting, professional radio transition. Guys, if you're out there and you're thinking about putting some scratch on baseball, football, doesn't matter. Do it with MyBookie. I want you to be able to get your money back when you win, and that's so important. And that's the beauty of MyBookie. You bet, you win, you're getting paid, you get your money out. And nobody pays you out faster than MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. First of all, they've got odds on everything. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book out there. But really importantly, you're going to get your cash out when you want it. We've had listeners say, man, I had $1,000 in my account. Hit up MyBookie, try to get the money out. No problems. That's so important. Who you bet on really is as important as who you're betting with, because at the end of the day, this is all about money, and you want to get your money, and you get paid with MyBookie. I mean, that's so important. I can't even stress it enough. But look, they've got the parlays, they've got the teasers, they've got everything you want. You can, you know, turn something small into something big. You can bet after kickoff. But here's the thing, though. They're safe and reliable. I don't bet with a no-name sports book. That worries me with you guys and your money. I've seen it time and time again. And MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. And right now, they'll double your first deposit. How cool is that? All you got to do is sign up, put in promo code radio. They'll give you up to $1,000 in free money to do what you want with in your account there at MyBookie. You guys, you can't beat it. Go check it out. If you've been wanting to get in on some action on these games, there's no better time to do it right now with that exclusive double your money offer from MyBookie. Just put in promo code radio when you go to mybookie.ag and get started, because you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show starts right now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. Just another reminder, we take you till 3, where ESPN's national coverage of the Yankees and the Astros begins at 3 and takes you through the duration. So the Blitz had a little early morning session.
Oh, they did a morning show?
They did 10 to 11.
Oh, that's weird.
So that could set up in New York.
Oh,
and he was late to get to the studio, and then they were trying to set things up. So they, and because the entire morning show, we love our sponsors and our suspects.
Yeah, we do.
But hopefully at some point we get some like just money flowing that's going to sponsor the entire morning show's entire trip.
That's
great,
man. That's awesome.
It's
for them.
Awesome. So Raheel's going to be there covering it from a social media perspective. Lance and John are going to be there. Charlie's going to be there. They're going to be there for the entire duration of Astros, Yankees in New York.
Very cool.
So, yeah, very neat stuff. You're sports experts in terms of covering it the best way possible and giving you the most knowledge.
Right here.
97.5.
Hey, somebody texted the show and said, can we not talk about LeBron today? You don't need to give this hypocrite any play. Here's the thing. When people text you and say not to talk about something, especially on this show, you know immediately we're going to talk about that thing.
And let's also
be
clear,
when they bring it up, they really secretly want us to talk about it.
But let's also really be clear, because we know what's pertinent in sports, it was already going to be talked about regardless of what you sent us. So don't get your britches all big.
Yeah, it's we're going to talk about what's in the headlines, and LeBron and Daryl Morey is in the headlines. So, yes, we're going to talk about it. If you know, you don't have to listen to that segment or two or whatever we spend on it. But yeah, it's going to happen. It's a important.
It's a big deal.
Discussion. It is.
And I said it to you guys when Daryl first sent the tweet out, and it was just kind of a little murmur back and forth on he shouldn't have sent it, and we were worried more about Tillman's reaction. I said, this is a big deal that's going to get bigger, and it's not going away anytime soon. And it has. And now LeBron makes comments yesterday that essentially blow the whole thing up again. And granted, they're home now, the Lakers are, and the Nets are, and the Rockets are, and the Raptors are. So they don't have all these different international things going on to where they're actually in the countries where the topic is the hottest. So let's start by playing LeBron's audio and his comments now that the Lakers are back in LA.
I think when we all sit back and learn from the situation that happened. Understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl. But Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
Okay, so my first...
So that's where it started. By the way, LeBron got me talking like that.
Yeah. My first thing is I love that he says, I don't think he was educated on it. And my response was, actually, it's the opposite. He was educated with what's going on in Hong Kong, and that's why he spoke out. So that was a poor choice of words on LeBron James's part. That is absolutely the reason Daryl spoke out. Now, if you want to say... He didn't consider the consequences of speaking out.
Because here's the
thing.
That's
completely different. But to say he wasn't educated on it is false.
We should play like tennis. Like you hit one and then throw it to me and I'll hit another one. Because we can go back and forth. Because if he'd have stopped right there and just said what he had said, I don't think it would have blown up as much. But to call Daryl uneducated on anything is a mistake.
Yeah.
I think that the other thing that, he tried to clarify it later, but I think that what he was trying to say was, look, you can have freedom of speech for yourself speaking as an individual. The mistake was, which we said all along, was you didn't think of the ramifications of from a team perspective and how my owner feels, from a league perspective and how many business dealings they have in Asia, and all the different ways that people were going to react. Then... That's one thing. But the way he put it, and he did it on more than one occasion and used unintelligent and, you know, didn't think about it, and all these...
I don't want to get in a war of words and sentences.
A word or a sentence feud with Daryl Morey.
Yeah, that's a weird way to say a war of words.
From now on, you guys, I just want you to know, I don't want to get in a word or sentence feud with either one of you.
That's such a weird... And then you follow... And then you double down, where you say that, which I've never heard... A war of words phrased that way. And then you follow it with, he's uneducated. That's a bad look within two sentences.
But here's the bad.
Really bad.
I'll start with the ball in my side of the court, too.
Go ahead.
On the bad look for LeBron. If you were going to make this statement, if you were going to make this stance, if you were going to go back at Daryl Morey, do it while you were there. Okay? Do it while you were there.
Point taken.
Because what you do now... is a cowardly way of saying, now that I'm back in the States and I'm safe, and while I was there, I got the goodwill of everybody knowing I'm LeBron and I'm a man of the people, and I'm my shoes and my brands and all that, we're all good. It's a bad, bad look. The same way you lashed out at Trump immediately on the whole Warriors going to the White House thing. Mm-hmm. The same way you've made political statements in the past. You made them when they were timely in the heat of the moment. The fact that you waited until you got back on U.S. soil and everything died down a little bit takes all the luster off of that and all the belief that was from the heart.
My thing is with LeBron is that it's kind of hypocritical what he's doing. He's been very socially outspoken in this country, and rightfully so. Again,
the anti-MJ, right? Because everybody said MJ was afraid to take a stance ever.
He's taken social and moral stances, and he's held his ground, and he has used his freedom of speech in this country to say what he thinks is wrong, but then to turn that around and say you didn't think about what you said when you were pointing out injustice somewhere else, I don't think you can have that both ways. I think if you're going injustice everywhere, there's some kind of quote about injustice everywhere. I don't know what the hell quote is. But the point is, you can't just selectively point out an issue here and not expect that to be the case worldwide. That what's going on in Hong Kong is about humanity. It's not about basketball. And that's why Daryl Morey pointed it out. And what's going on in this country is about humanity. It's not about sports. It's not about anything other than humanity. So they're the same. And I think it's hypocritical for him to not believe that or not see that.
The difference between him and Daryl is one didn't think at all before he hit send, and the other one overthought his eventual response too much to where he then also tripped all over himself, because he also said because of Daryl's tweet, people were losing their lives.
Yeah, it sounded like this.
And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah, well, you're worried about your money?
I was going to say, let's be honest. The only real casualties in all of this were bank
money.
Accounts.
Yeah, By the way, the quote was Martin Luther King, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere."
Someone would have texted you that.
Nah, yeah, I just Googled it real quick. I couldn't remember that damn thing.
But that's the thing, too. When I'm looking at the big picture of all of this with LeBron and Daryl and everybody else, you take the luster away when you wait this long to speak, and then you kind of go out in a million different directions where people are also more focused on what you said, that last quote, where you over-dramatized everything, mm-hmm. all those different things, instead of focusing on what the real deal is, which is we have real human issues in Asia.
Yeah.
And that should be addressed. Because at the end of the day, the difference between the two of them is Daryl was speaking from a personal point of view with knowledge of a situation, but not thinking enough about the professional ramifications that he created. LeBron was thinking about the fact that, let's be honest, he's talking about his brand. He's talking about, just like the league was concerned, LeBron's concerned because it's hundreds of millions of dollars that are affected by what he says, doesn't say, and how he reacts.
That's what it is it looks, when you've been such a social justice warrior like LeBron has, and again, I'm not suggesting
kudos to what he's done in the past.
Right. But then to come out and take this stance now makes it look like that you're only upset because this is about the money. And it's a really bad and hypocritical look on his part. Really is.
Absolutely agree. All right, hour number one continues as we're going to step away for just a few minutes. Stick with us. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through a spirited hour number one, 2 hour show, shortened and abbreviated today because we'll be the national lead in pregame show to the national coverage of Astros and Yankees on ESPN Radio.
In Houston. Gotta add the in Houston. Houston.
Well, you did. You didn't let me finish.
My bad.
Jeez. A little fired up about everything going on around here today.
Nick, we didn't give you a chance to talk. What are your thoughts on LeBron?
I mean, I agree with a lot of the things that he said to a certain extent. The only little small portion of the situation that I can defend LeBron is he was asked the question. It's not like he held a press conference and said these things. He was asked the question and he answered it. Now, I think he could have been better off, and I said this in the break, by just saying no comment.
Yeah, that would have been the smartest thing to do.
If you're not going to comment when you're there, you're right. Then don't comment when you get back.
Is he putting himself, his life at risk if he makes a comment over there? You're in a different country.
Well, you bring up another interesting point. Because I want to read rules. The tweet that he put out last night, because we were talking about it during the break. But before I do that, Nick, you bring up the interesting point of, is he putting his life in danger? Enes Kanter responded several times and basically was like, it's essentially saying, LeBron, you shouldn't have just shut your mouth. Don't even say anything, because from Cantor's perspective, he knows firsthand how he hasn't seen his family in 5 years because of his government trying to not just get him and his passport taken away, get him killed. They want him arrested. They want to torture him. They have made sure his family has gone through hell, and they continue to do so. He can't go on road trips in the preseason with the rest of his team because they tried to kidnap him the last time he did. So that's that issue. But LeBron tweets out last night, my team in this league just went through a difficult week. You flew private. You didn't go through security and all of the different deals you got to go through when you fly internationally. Okay? Customs. You stayed in a 5-star hotel. You had appearances canceled you didn't want to make anyway. You ate amazing meals morning, noon, and night. You still got all your practice time in. You still played both games if you say you needed them. And at the end of it all, you came back home.
Meanwhile, people in Hong Kong are dying, yes. And you were the ones that were at risk. Get out of here. That's just selfish and idiotic at best.
Now, he follows it up by saying, I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others.
Amen.
And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. He finishes by saying, could have waited a week to send it. Kind of like you waited over a week to respond to the entire deal. Stop it.
Yeah, he really messed up, I think. In my opinion, he's really messed up all of the clout that he had built up.
Yes,
off the court.
Because I'm totally with you.
Because socially, I was on LeBron's side on a lot of the things that he mm-hmm. talked about. Not everything, but a lot of the things he talked about made sense. You felt like he was trying to do the right thing. You felt like there were... And people obviously don't agree with LeBron on domestic issues, and that's fine. But when you go out and you do something this hypocritical, especially when you consider all of the things that he's been so outspoken about, I would have thought that he would have been on board with
so
this.
So that's my point.
With Daryl Morey by saying, I have Daryl's back. I agree. We have to do. But now you made it about money, and now you just look like the biggest hypocrite in the world.
I commend him because he was outspoken, because he competes with MJ on everything. And MJ was, if there was the biggest knock on Michael Jordan, it was he was afraid to take a stance on anything for the effect that it could have on his brand, his money, and all these other things. So I commend him like you do for all the different things he's gotten involved with to stop social injustice and all the different things that he's made a statement on. And I partly commended him for all that because he put his brand and what the ramifications of him making a statement could have done to his potential future income. Mm-hmm. So I commended him for all those things and for that reason in particular, how it relates to now. Because now, because of his brand and his image and potential future lost revenues, he completely flipped on us.
Yeah. And he's made it about money. He's become the corporate scourge that you hate.
Yes,
because it's all about money and not about the humanity of the situation. It's really bad.
He went from the hero that we love, not just because of his athleticism, because of his heroic attempts to try to make a difference by using his platform, to exactly what you said, because of the fact that he just completely flipped a 180.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's now it's going to be hard to take him serious when he speaks out on issues, because it's like, well, so as long as it's not affecting your pocketbook, and I used the example during the break where this would be the equivalent of him being outspoken about the water in Flint. Mm-hmm. And then other people being like, hey, but that messes with our money in Michigan, which is Detroit, which is cars. You're going to cause the price of automobiles to go up. Stop doing that. I mean, that's kind of what he was in a roundabout way, what he was doing about Hong Kong by saying, hey, it made it difficult on us and my owner and these teams and the league. It made it difficult from a revenue perspective. But there's nothing difficult about your life for 1 week in China.
Or most Americans.
No, but I'm just saying while he was there, stop it.
Right. And the thing is, now we're in the past because of all the things he's been outspoken about. People have known he's speaking from the heart. He's speaking from his own personal opinion. He's speaking from what he sees and what he believes in. And now people have to ask the question, are you speaking from your heart or your wallet?
Yeah. And somebody just texted and said, it's almost like he was telling Daryl to shut up and dribble. Very bad look.
That was another thing that I was thinking about last night after he was so adamant with all that. But yeah.
Because the whole shut up and dribble thing, if you don't remember, was he was being outspoken.
Was it Nikki Lerner or something like that? She was the Fox...
It had to be somebody from Fox, of course.
Yeah, Fox that basically said when he was outspoken about so many social...
That was Laura Ingraham.
Was it?
Yeah, Laura Ingraham told LeBron, shut up and dribble. That was February of 2018. And if you don't remember, it was because he talked about, you know, political and social issues. And her response was, just play basketball. You don't need to be involved in social issues. And it was a big deal in this country. And now you got LeBron out here basically telling Daryl Morey, hey, you should have just shut up and manage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's essentially what he said. And it's look, we got to call it like it is. He's being a hypocrite. And I want to support LeBron, but I just can't on this. It's a bad look. He's really screwed this up.
It's just, it's true. And again, like we said, the situation not only wasn't going to go away, it was going to get bigger and bigger. Now he's just throwing a big can of gasoline on the entire thing again. Yeah. So with that being said, Bill's been waiting patiently. He wants to get in here on this LeBron thing. Bill, welcome to The Suspects. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's good up, Bill?
I'm a big LeBron James fan. We're about the same age. I've been following his career for my whole life. I mean, I've been born and raised here in Houston, and for whatever reason, I've rooted for the guy for a long time. I've always respected him and all the stuff he's done for community and, you know, for his school and all that stuff he's got going on. And this just puts a wrench in everything for me, because if that guy had any, if any of this stuff had any effect on his pocketbook here in America, all the social injustice that we've been going through, he wouldn't have done it. That just proves that he would not have done that here if it would have affected him. And it's disgusting. It makes me not even want to root for the guy.
Yeah, it's a good point, Bill. I think it almost makes me think, when you said that, appreciate the call, but it almost makes me think, like, he's like, well, if I come out and take this stance socially, maybe it will result in more shoe sales and more jersey sales and have more people having my back and supporting me. You kind of get that vibe now because he says this, and that sucks. You hate to think that. Now, somebody sent me a screenshot of LeBron. Now, I've got to verify this tweet. But back on January 15th, 2018, LeBron James tweeted the quote that I said earlier. But his tweet was, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." If you tweeted that in January of 2018, and now you're telling Daryl Morey to shut up about Hong Kong because it hurt your NBA owner and your NBA team and your NBA teammates, you are the ultimate in hypocrisy, and I never want to hear from you on social issues again. That's just terrible.
Yeah, all of his credibility went out the window.
Absolutely.
So that's the main thing to take away here. As the NBA and everybody else continues to discuss and deal with all of the issues that were created by the initial tweet by Daryl, and wisely, Daryl has not been heard from since he had the tweet of basically explanation / apology.
His tweet was like the big bang. It was just like, boom. From that. And you know what? Hey, credit to Daryl Morey. One tweet. And look how much impact it has had socially in this country and really worldwide when you think about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Pretty crazy.
So that basically will put the wraps on hour number one. Still got hour number two to go before we turn over the show to ESPN's coverage of Yankees Astros. But before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you for quite a while, if you had roofing issues in the past, leaks and otherwise, or you're thinking about putting a new roof on your house, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. You can go to FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, you should call them. 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. Why, you ask? Well, because if you have someone that you need to come out to the house and give you an expert opinion on what's going on with your roof, or you want to know how much it would cost, they're going to do a free, no-obligation inspection just by giving them a call. You call them, they come to you, they tell you what they can do, they walk away. You want them back, you call, they're there, and they do fantastic work. They use the best product on the market, CertainTeed Shingles. They're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company that only 1% of roofers in the U.S. have the criteria to attain a status like that. They got it, you need it, you go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer than your average roofer. And I'm telling you right now, they have the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook, and Home Advisor. They are the locally owned and operated company that is focused on Houstonians. Not people nationally are coming from out of town to take your money up front and do shoddy work and leave without ever being able to make you happy. These people know what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time, and their main goal is to take care of Houstonians. Check them out again, FitzRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.